unheardnerd.com.
Hello and welcome to the Unheard Nerd movie podcast. I'm Will.
And I'm John.
And we are recording live from England.
Lovely warm England.
Lovely fucking cold England. Freezing. Okay, you lucky people, we've got another show for you this week. I don't know how long it'll be, but we're going to try and drag it out for a bit. So, this is the news.
Okay, well, I thought a funny little update to the last podcast story. Remember how I said Bryan Singer had tweeted that Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen were going to be in the new X-Men film?
Yes, I do.
It turns out they didn't know either.
Did they find out on Twitter? What the fuck?
Both of them have issued statements saying, well, we're very happy that we're going to be in the film, but we didn't know we were going to be in the films.
Well, that's a bit of a problem. Well, ka-ching, money, that's nice for them. I thought I saw somebody else. Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, Hugh Jackman said he's in this one as well.
Yeah, I saw that. So, was he always going to be in it? Or was that news?
No, that was news when he popped up and said, oh, I'm in it as well.
All right.
Because Mr. Bryan hadn't mentioned anything about Hugh, so that's another news item.
So, I mean, I've been thinking about this X-Men film. It's called Days of Future Past.
That's right.
So, I mean, I got a feeling it's going to flip between sort of present day and past.
She says, oh, it's got some clever editing techniques.
I think so, and I think that's why all these people are in there. The actors, the established actors, I think that's my thought on it, that's my theory, so we'll have to wait and see on that. But I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, it sounds better than the tired sort of bookend theory. Yeah. I come up with last podcast where they're just in that the beginning, like, oh, let's have a flashback.
Well, there's no guarantee that they're not doing that.
I mean announcing such big names, you know. Yeah. I mean, especially Hugh Jackman just turn up for the first 5 minutes and go, oh, let's remember 10 years ago.
Yeah,
it's just a waste of. By saying that, it's his cameo in the what's the first one called? Oh, First Class, isn't it? X-Men First Class, the prequel.
Right. Yes. I've watched that.
Hugh Jackman's only in there for one scene, and his scene is probably one of the best scenes out of the whole movie.
I did watch that not too long ago, and again, my terrible review. I can't really remember it. I just remember being a bit disappointed in it. And so I erased it, because that's what I do with stuff that's not interesting. I just erase it. I've got too much other stuff to remember to remember stuff like that. But okay, well, yeah, X-Men. I'm interested to see what that's going to be like. But as I said last week, I've never really been a huge fan of the X-Men series of films. I don't know. The first one was quite cool. It was the first DVD I owned. Well, I didn't own, actually. My housemate Davey, he owned it. And we had surround sound system in our house, and it was really basic, you know. what was it before 5.1? It would have been like 3.1, wouldn't it?
It used to be just Dolby Surround.
Right, okay. So
I think it's the first one.
It was like the first home cinema surround sound system you could get at home. And I had that, and I remember it freaked me out the first time I watched that film on my own. Because there's a bit where you first hear Charles Xavier thinking, like projecting thoughts to people. Uh-huh. And it suddenly like, hit the back speakers, and it was like from left to right. And it's like, what? It's like, that was my... I just wasn't really expecting it at home, which sounds stupid. But yeah, that was the first X-Men film. But for that to be the first DVD we had, that's saying something, isn't it? It's quite older than you probably think, isn't it?
Kind of brought my first DVD. I brought two at the same time, imported from America. I got Blade and Tremors.
Right, okay. Well, you were probably an early adopter. I mean, you had a laser disc, for Christ's sake.
For
anyone listening here,
money.
People that are listening that haven't got the privilege of seeing you on screen as I have, you actually buried your head in your hands when you talked about that. I think it's perfectly fine to have owned a Laserdisc. I think that's very forward thinking.
Well, Laserdisc was an excellent format. I think my problem was the fact I brought it 6 months before DVD turned up.
Right, well, there's that. But a fatal flaw, obviously, was that you had to turn the film over halfway through as well.
That was a... Yes, if you had the more expensive player, it would do that for you automatically. No, that's... Yeah, the film, the screen suddenly went blank, and you go, oh, hang on a minute, I've got to turn the disc over.
Do you still have that?
It's in my parents' attic.
Do you think it still works?
If it's been, it's probably in a bin bag or something, or maybe in its original box, but I don't see why not. But it's, for a while, it's the only way to get some movies in the UK fully uncut.
Yeah, yeah.
Terminator 2 was one of them. All the versions on video were censored, but the Laserdisc was uncensored, and I think it's actually rated 18.
Right. Okay. Well, you should dig that out someday. I've got a really crappy old projector in my cupboard somewhere as well, which a few friends of we used to get together and we'd play Halo, a multiplayer, the original Halo. We'd have one on the TV screen and one projected on the wall, and it was always really blurry and very difficult to see. But maybe one day we could get together and hook the
retro cinema.
Exactly, that would be, yeah, well, there we go. Maybe if we ever get popular enough, we could do a movie podcast meet, and we'll do that. We'll play a laser disc via a shitty projector. Nobody can see it. But while we're on the players, I was looking in the paper. Again, this is similar to I think either last week or the week before. I was in the caf next door at work because I'd missed breakfast again, and I always pick up the newspaper while I'm waiting for my sandwich to be made. And I noticed in there today you can pick up a Panasonic, I think it was Panasonic or Pioneer, God, I can't remember, one of those, Blu-ray player for about £60, but you got the Dark Knight trilogy, Blu-ray trilogy box set with it. I thought that was quite a good deal.
That's a bargain. Yeah. If I didn't already have those two things, I'd be out buying one now.
Well, exactly. I don't actually have a Blu-ray player. I do have the first two, you know, Batman films. But I don't know. I might have to work on the wife with that one. So play subliminal tapes at night while she's sleeping.
I will the DVD Blu-ray player.
It might work. You never know.
We need to see the extra detail on screen.
Exactly.
This DVD is so smeary.
Got a fucking HD TV. Let's watch something in HD on it. So what have we got, John? What have we got lined up after X-Men today?
Kevin Smith has changed his retirement plan, if you will.
Right. His last film was supposed to be, and you're going to update me on this, I presume, it's going to be called Hit Somebody. Is that right?
That was great. It's an ice hockey movie.
Exactly. That was going to be his last film. What
was going to be his last film? That's changed. Like, apparently, the script was so large that he's now going to try and make that into a 6-part miniseries, running an hour long each.
Oh right. Okay.
And he said today, these are his own words. So with the Hit Somebody shift, the minute Jeff Anderson signs on, my last cinematic effort as a writer director will be Clerks 3.
I'm not sure if that's a good idea. What do you think?
When did Clerks 2 come out? Has it been a long enough gap?
I don't know.
That's what I liked about the first two. There's such a big gap between them.
Yeah.
The characters have grown up. They've, well, moved on in a small way, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a gap between 2 and 3 to make it interesting.
I don't think so. I'm not sure there is. I mean, I didn't really rate 2 that much, if I'm honest. I thought it was a mistake to go back to that film, which I think would have existed as a classic for Smith throughout his career. But I didn't think 2 was very good. What about you? You're going to disagree with this on this, aren't you? I know you are.
That's the way this podcast goes, isn't it? You seem to hate everything I talk about.
No, I don't hate everything you talk about. We just disagree. We have a different view on things. So you liked it, obviously.
Yeah, I enjoyed number 2. I thought the donkey stuff at the end was... maybe going a bit too far.
I didn't like that. I thought that was a bit... I thought it was, I don't know, just vulgar for the sake of being vulgar. And, you know, that's the thing about Clerks. The first one was... It was a clever story. Not, you know, genius level clever, but it worked really well. It was a situation and there was nothing... I mean, all right, there were a few bits that were really fantastic about it, bits that were fairly unbelievable. But it's all stuff that you know, could happen, and it was sort of every day, and that's what I really liked. It was people in a situation.
It's what Kevin Smith knew about, really, because that's what he did, didn't he? He worked in a convenience store at that time. So
exactly. He, I mean, throughout his career, he's drawn on his own life experiences. But I thought Clerks 2 was a bit of a deviation from that, and it was just it just took it beyond. So the characters had always been very believable in the first film. In the second film, I thought they lost that somewhat. But yeah, I mean, what to expect from Clerks 3? I have no idea. I mean, he's got to kill off Dante finally, hasn't he? I mean, he was supposed to die at the end of the first one, and
oh, that's true. Yeah, he did in the original cut, didn't he?
Exactly. And they said, you know, recut it, and you know, you don't want your most popular character or most lovable character to die.
For anyone who's not seen that, basically, someone comes in to rob the store, and Dante gets shot. It's quite a depressing ending for the movie.
Yeah, I think you can see that on the Clerks 10th anniversary edition. Clerks X or whatever it is. I've got that.
The full length sort of work print, hasn't it? Sort of.
I believe so. Production. I can't say I've actually watched that version. I should do that. But then there's a lot of films I should watch that I just never get around to. Don't mention it.
It hadn't even entered the mind when you said that. But I won't mention that movie.
Yes, that one. I don't know. I mean, Smith's, let's just have a quick look at Smith's career. Clerks was brilliant, loved it from day one. Always wanted, I mean, I heard about it on the radio, first place I heard about it, and from the second I heard about it on the radio, I wanted to watch it, and I owned it on VHS, whatever. I still have a postcard that I carry in my bag every day, which is retarded, but it's the poster, like postcard poster of the Clerks sort of cover. And it says on there, just because they serve you, it doesn't mean they like you.
Oh yeah, the original poster.
And I don't know why, but I've carried that for years, and hope one day I will meet Kevin Smith and get him to sign it, and then that'll be it. But I've kept it in really good condition. After that came Mallrats. Again, yeah. I really enjoyed that. I thought that was really good. Again, everything was kind of believable about it. It was a bit over the top, but it was believable, and it was again people in a situation, people in places. I enjoyed that. Dogma came next.
Chasing Amy,
you're quite right, this is why you're here. Again, yeah, I enjoyed Chasing Amy. I thought it was a little bit drawn out. His films are notoriously dialogue heavy.
Camera doesn't move.
Yeah, exactly, but I liked that style, and again it worked on Chasing Amy. Dogma was a bit of a departure. It was a bit more cinematic, but he said, you know, it's the film he always wanted to make, and
That was my entry into the Viewerskew universe. I actually saw Dogma first.
Did you?
Yeah, then I worked my way backwards, funny enough.
Oh, right. In well, it wouldn't be chronological, whatever the opposite of chronological order is.
Yeah, so I remember my friends took me to see Dogma, and I can't remember what they said about it, but I just came out of the cinema thinking, that was absolutely brilliant. I loved every moment of it.
And I got a bit elitist about Kevin Smith's work, but I'll come on to that when we get to Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back. Dogma, I thought it was good. It was all right. I've backpedaled there. It was good. It was all right. No, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good enough film. It didn't hold my attention quite the same way, and it wasn't the same style. It wasn't really people in situations or places. It was, it wasn't set in one place. It moved around a bit more, and I don't know how many times can you see Silent Bob talk before it becomes a bit tired.
it's always near the end of the movie, isn't it? He always says sort of the most important part of the plot, as it was.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I think, I mean, that's probably one of his most aired films on TV. I think that's probably the one that gets the most plays, Dogma. What came after Dogma? Was it Jay and Silent Bob, or was it Jersey Girl? Probably was Jay and Silent Bob, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back was the next film.
Right, okay. Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back started to lose me a bit there.
Really is one for the fans, though, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. I mean, fans of Jay and Silent Bob. I don't know, there are funny bits in it, and I'll watch it quite happily, but it really... Whereas some of the other films, especially Clerks and Mallrats, really had a kind of artistic quality to them. I think it was just really it was just a bit of a dick and fart joke fest, wasn't it? And I don't think it.
It's basically having fun with your friends, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He's got all his big name friends in there.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck playing about two or three different roles in it, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It was all right. It's okay for a laugh, but not his best work, I don't think. And then he went through a bit of a rusty patch, I think, because it must have been Jersey Girl after that.
Yeah, that's next.
Which I'm not qualified to talk about because I've never seen more than about 30 seconds of it. But you liked it, didn't you? You thought it was all right?
I really like. I don't know why Jersey Girl gets such negative press. I really enjoyed that. I think it's a really nice film.
Right.
It's not a sort of it's not a big comedy type thing like the previous stuff. It's more a bit more dramatic, and I think it's a really nice story.
Right, okay. So I will watch that at some point. I think it's probably the whole J-Lo Affleck element that's put a lot of people off and put me off, probably. But I think that's the only Kevin Smith film I haven't seen. After that would be...
Clerks 2 was next.
Clerks 2, right, okay. I saw that quite late. I'd really gone off Smith's work by then. And, Jersey Girl... I'd really gone off Smith's work and I wasn't inclined to watch it, but I did eventually. And like I say, I wasn't that keen on that either. I think it was like Jay and Silent Bob, and it had lost all the endearing qualities of the early films for me. But again, you know, difference of opinion. I'm sure everybody will have their own opinions on that. And then what, Zach and Miri?
Zach and Miri next, yeah.
I don't know whether I really enjoyed that or not. I watched it with my wife, which was a bit of a mistake because there was no way she was going to enjoy it. And if you got someone next to you, you know, who's not going to enjoy a film, it's difficult to enjoy it yourself.
Shall I turn this off and we watch something else conversation?
Yeah, kind of. I bought it for about £3 in my local Budgins, local convenience store.
No rival to Blockbusters.
Yeah, of course. And I swear the guy behind the counter thought it was a porno. At which point I felt like I said, well, you're fucking selling it. Yeah, don't look at me like I'm scum. I think I'd probably enjoy it more if I watched it again. And that kind of, it was when I watched that, which was, you know, obviously I missed it at the cinema. It had come out on DVD long enough to be in the budget bin in Budgets of all places. And I started getting back into Smith's work. I started checking out his podcasts and everything. And then after that was Red State. Have you seen it? No? What came after that?
The one that neither either of us have ever seen. I didn't even intend to see it either.
Go on. Oh, no. Cop Out.
Cop Out, yes.
Did that come... Oh, my God. I've just blanked that from my memory. I don't class that as his film, though, because he didn't write it.
No, that's true. He did these directing someone else's script, which is a sort of a first for him.
Yeah,
I mean, I've seen it in the shop for £3, and I still won't touch it. I can't bring myself to do it. I've watched the trailer. That was enough for me. That really put me off.
No, I blanked that out. I'm not going to watch that at all. So after that came,
then we get to Red State.
Red State, which surprised me a lot. I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it more watching it than looking back at it afterwards, if you know what I mean. When I looked back at it, that's when I found flaw in it. But when I was actually just watching it, I really enjoyed it. And I watched it with my next door neighbour, together with a couple of his friends. And everybody felt the same. Everybody really enjoyed it at the time. There was a lot of unexpected stuff happened in it. You know, just people getting shot that you didn't expect to get shot. You know, main characters getting killed and... I thought, you know, that was a real return to form for him, doing something completely different to what he's known for. But yeah, what did you think? Have you seen it? You've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah, I picked it up cheap on DVD. I was tempted to go jump straight ahead and get the Blu-ray, but I thought, well, I haven't watched it yet. I'll give it a go. And I was really surprised.
Yeah,
and it's quite a lot of violence in it, and main characters getting shot, and then you do have the classic Smith moment, which is he's not a priest, or can't remember, the leader of the cult giving that speech for about 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go, yeah, this is a Kevin Smith film.
Yeah, but he delivered it really well. I mean,
oh, he did, yeah.
But so some some cameos in there from, you know, his wife's in that, and Ralph Garman, who he does the Babylon, what was it, Hollywood Babylon podcast with, and he's a radio DJ on, was it K-Rock or something in the States. But yeah, so there's some cameos in keeping with his tradition of introducing people from his real life into his movies, and I suppose, you know, he's got to put the missus in the film, hasn't he? Kevin, I want to be in a film, Kevin. I'm not a Schwalbach, whatever her fucking name is. I'm not a hater of her. I think she's all right. I thought it was a bad move to put her into, was it, she was in Jan Silent Bob, wasn't she?
Yeah, she plays one of the girls in the
yeah,
Jewel Thieves.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought it was a bit of a bad call putting her in. Because she's not an actual actress, but she did all right. She was all right. It's okay. So yeah, okay. Wow, this has turned into a Kevin Smith podcast, of which there's probably been at least 3 million done in the past. So perhaps we should move on. But Clerks 3, I don't know what to think of that. I think it's another step too far. I think he's taken 2 steps too far. But he might surprise me with this.
Who knows?
Right.
I'm sure we get to find out all about it while it's being made as well, because he likes to document everything.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's one of the endearing qualities of him, I think, is that you do know everything that's going on. He doesn't hide anything.
No.
And I enjoy his podcasts a lot. I listen to a lot of them from his podcast network. Yeah, so, and in fact, one of them launched the website, so why the fuck shouldn't I be? Yeah, I think he's all right. All right, so what have we got up next?
Another Tom Cruise sci-fi action flick.
Another one.
I wasn't really sure. I didn't really know about it until a couple of days ago. Some concept art turned up online. It's called Oblivion.
Right.
And the first poster is has come online today, and apparently we'll get the first trailer online Sunday. Right. Which is the 9th, for those people listening at a later point.
That was last Sunday. If you're listening promptly, if not, well, fuck you. Why aren't you listening as soon as it comes out? Why aren't you waiting by your PC? Is it downloading? Because it's a fucking week late sometimes, that's why. But anyway, we love our listeners. I wonder how many listeners we actually have. It's very difficult to gauge. Because the stats sort of show how many hits the actual singular file has had, but the feed, you know, this podcast obviously gets fed in with the other podcast, so it's very difficult to gauge actually how many people are listening. But the fact that it seems to trend on the website every week is encouraging. I think people do listen to this one.
Number 3 hasn't trended yet. Why aren't you downloading, people?
Because it was a week late. I thought we gave up after 2 weeks. I don't know. There's been a lot of other big news on the website, of which shall we touch on this before you go on to Tom Cruise again? How disappointed are you with the IMAX Star Trek Into Darkness coverage in the UK? Because that
incredibly disappointed.
I broke that today on the day that we're recording, and we found out that. Sort of showing the 9-minute Star Trek Into Darkness preview trailer or extended trailer at selected IMAX, but they're showing them at about 6 IMAX in the country, and they're all in places far away from us, really.
Yes. And they think they would have chosen at least one in London, being it's the capital city.
It seems they've only chosen Cineworld ones.
I think someone's been doing some backhanders somewhere.
Maybe. But it was very kind. I contacted IMAX because somebody in the comments said, because I put a list of all the IMAX out, and they were like, this is inaccurate. They're not showing it at the, I can't remember what it's called. Swiss Cottage IMAX in London.
Okay.
And I was like, no, it's just a list of all the IMAX. It's not a list of... So it inspired me to actually contact IMAX and find out where they are showing these previews. And they very kindly sent me a list of every cinema in the world that's showing it, which is great. It's really good information to have. Nice. But there are more in the state of, California. I mean, a considerable amount more. And there's more in New Jersey, there's more in, you know, small states than there are in the whole of the UK. And our newest one is, Crawley, or Enfield.
Yeah.
So north or south of London, basically. Which is a bit shit.
I have to put up with the old the next trailer, which goes online on the 17th, I think.
I'm really surprised it's not at the BFI IMAX, you know, the sort of the flagship IMAX in central London, which is literally on a roundabout.
It is the roundabout.
You literally drive around that IMAX. It is a roundabout in the middle of Waterloo. Crazy. I'm really shocked by that. So there's going to be a lot of disappointed people, I think, when they find that news out. But the glimmer of hope is that if you keep checking the link right at the end of the post I posted, it's a link to their blog with the information on. It does stay on there that other cinemas may be added. So you never know. Never know. Might get another one. Maybe in central London.
Speaking of which, what did you think of the 1 minute preview that went online yesterday?
I was very excited by that. I haven't actually watched the Japanese version, which is like a bit slightly longer, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically two new shots at the end.
But there's a bit where the Enterprise is sort of, it's either rising or sinking. I couldn't really make out which it was, and I don't know whether it was clouds or water. I should go back and study it.
There's definitely one. We assume it's the Enterprise.
I thought I saw the 1701. Was it 1701D? No, whatever it is, 1701. NCC 1701. That's it, isn't it?
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, because the D was from the next generation or whatever the fuck. Doesn't matter.
That's right. Yeah.
So definitely saw a ship. Go on.
There's one ship rising from the water. Then that fantastic shot of the end of an Enterprise plowing into the water.
Right, yeah. I wonder if they put that in reverse order. You know, it sort of plowed into the water first and then rising. Seems a bit bizarre that a spaceship would be rising out of water, but I suppose it's possible. I don't think it's possible at all, actually, but I suppose it's possible, possible in films. I'm excited by that. I think it...
That is a really good teaser.
And the poster, it features the Gherkin. The famous Gherkin from the London skyline. And I saw Simon Pegg tweeting a lot of questions or a lot of interest in the Gherkin. St. Paul's is 500 years old. Why wouldn't the Gherkin be around in 500 years? Well, probably because it's made out of steel and glass and it's going to degrade a bit more than the concrete that St. Paul's is made out of. But weird. So I guess set in London in parts.
It gives that impression off the poster, doesn't it? Once again, an apocalyptic London.
it makes a change from New York, I suppose. What's his face? Cucumbernard or whatever his name is. Apparently, he didn't want to travel for it, so they filmed it in London.
Really?
No, I don't know. I'm making that up.
Lazy sod.
What's his name?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I really should. I always want to call him Cumbernaud or something. I don't know why.
Yeah, sure thing, JJ. I'll film it, but you come round into my back garden with some green screens. I ain't leaving the house.
Sure. We sidetracked, as is often the way. Tom Cruise is in another film, and I've forgotten the name already.
It's that good. Oblivion.
Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
And what news have you got of Oblivion?
It's based on a graphic novel. And it's being... what did he do? I don't recognise the director's name. The director of Tron Legacy. It's his next film.
Oh, right, okay.
It's been described as an original and groundbreaking cinematic event, which is quite rare for Hollywood these days, having something original.
Yeah, credit where credit's due. Tom does seem to be making original films rather than remakes at the moment anyway. It's not to say he hasn't in the past, but...
No, that's true. Thumbs up. The story goes, on a spectacular future Earth that has evolved beyond recognition, one man's confrontation with the past will lead him on a journey of redemption and discovery as he battles to save mankind. Jack Harper... He's one of the last few drone repairmen stationed on Earth, part of a massive operation to extract vital resources after decades of war with a terrifying threat known as the Scavs. I think of another word when I read that. It's very similar.
Chavs.
Yes. Jack's mission is nearly complete. Living and patrolling the breathtaking skies from thousands of feet above, his soaring existence is brought crashing down when he rescues a beautiful stranger from a downed spacecraft. Her arrival triggers a chain of events that forces him to question everything he knows and puts the fate of humanity in his hands.
Hmm. He does save the world quite a lot, Tom, doesn't he?
He does, he does. Reminds me of that sketch already.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Okay, so Jack, what's his name?
Jack Harper.
Jack Harper and Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher, Jack Harper.
Have you seen the trailer for Reacher?
I've not seen the new one yet. Apparently there's a newer international version going around.
Hmm. Yeah.
I did see the first American trailer. I'm interested in it because I've loved the books. I was reading them the other day. I realized I'm on book 7 or 8 now.
Yeah, I mean,
I still haven't got to the movie one. The movie is book 9, I think. So.
All right. I watched the trailer and I didn't think it looked too bad. But I can totally see where you're coming from with Tom Cruise playing the lead. He doesn't look the part, and I know nothing about the books.
Yeah.
Whether that's sort of subconsciously embedded in my mind now, it might be. But he just didn't come across as convincing. But I don't know. I don't really like Tom Cruise in films anyway. Just because he just always looks smug. do you know what I mean? He's got a smugness about him. I don't know whether it really is smugness or whether it's just his persona or you know, just the way he looks, but yeah, he just looks smug, but it worked a bit in that film because there's a moment where he has to look smug, and and you know, he did that quite well. Okay, so Oblivion. Do we know when? Sorry, did you say when that's due to come out?
I haven't got a release date for it. Although, say we'll see the trailer on Sunday,
right?
So we can make some more. Obviously, we can review the film based on those 2 minutes, like most people do.
Well, we should do that next week. We'll tee it up and we'll watch it and we'll review it from that. From that trailer. That's our yeah. We'll do that. We can compare our review of the trailer to the film if we finally see it. I think that's it's a good idea. A bit like the Smurfs last week. Smurfs 2, honestly. I hope you've got something better this week.
I haven't pulled any stunts like that this week, don't worry.
Ending on, I don't know, something, some kids' film or something.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua 4.
Chipmunks in, I don't know, bollocks. No, that probably wouldn't be a kid's film. Chipmunks in bollocks. That's a whole different genre.
Oh,
all right, okay, moving on from Tom. What's after Tom?
Let's have some lazy Hollywood news. There's two remakes have caught my eye. Just the fact they're lazy remakes, and it just pisses me off.
Hmm.
One of them is they're going to remake The Equalizer.
Edward Woodward,
that's right.
Yeah, I've got an interesting story about Edward Woodward. Not
do tell your story about Edward Woodward.
not actually about Edward Woodward, more okay. About his son, Tim Woodward.
Uh-huh.
My boss bought his house off of him, Tim Woodward.
All right.
And it was like he was living in squalor. It's a big house, 5-bedroom house. But he had no central heating. There was shit all over the floor. It was just a mess. And he's an actor in his own right. We've got a few actors around our way, and whose sons of because Edward Woodward obviously is dead. I'm positive about that one, by the way. He is dead. But yeah, Tim Woodward was, I think, just a bit eccentric. I don't think he was hard up necessarily. Just didn't have central heating or any sort of mod cons in his house. It was quite kind of weird.
Yeah.
But just round the corner from him lives Timothy Spall. Who we see when he's not filming regularly because he comes into where I work with his wife, Shane. And his son, who is Rafe Spall, has become an actor in his own right as well. He's on, I think, ITV series at the moment. We seem to mention ITV a lot. I wish they'd start sponsoring us or something. But the thing is, I think actually maybe they won't, because normally what we're saying is they're shit.
Yeah.
But sorry, that's a little diversion into South East London actors. that people probably don't know. Everybody knows Timothy Spall, don't they?
He's in everything.
He's a Hollywood actor.
He is.
Yeah.
Harry Potter.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's not Harry Potter, obviously, but yeah, he's in the Harry Potter film.
We had who's the actor that played Harry Potter? Daniel Radcliffe. He actually came into where I work as well once. We get a lot of celebs.
All right.
But he came in one day, and he was like, "Oh, if you got," it was before we were open in the morning. He's like, "If you got a cigarette machine?" I know, we don't have one. Sorry. He's like, "Oh, it's just the shop across the road won't serve me. I don't have ID." He's only one of the most fucking famous actors in the world. "I'm sorry, Harry Potter. I know you still go to school, so I can't serve you." He was gagging for a cigarette. So my boss, who smoked at the time, gave him a cigarette. He was very grateful. What were we talking about, John? Edward Woodward, Equalizer.
That's right, yes.
I loved the Equalizer. I thought it was good.
I remember the opening music and the titles and stuff. I know I watched it. I can't really remember much about it. He just went around solving problems, didn't he?
Well, it was a series, yeah. And it was kind of the A-Team principle. If you've got a problem and no one else can help, call in the Equalizer. But where it differed was the Equalizer was a fucking hard motherfucker. He didn't look it. He looked like Edward Woodward. But in his kitchen, I think it was his kitchen or a cupboard in his house, he would open it up and it was just full of guns and knives and all sorts of shit. It was amazing. And he drove a Jag. It was awesome. He just larruped this Jag around. And he would fuck people up. Yeah. Who were, you know, people who needed help. I think he would, you know, he would equalise situations.
People would be. Oh, I see what they've done there. That's clever.
I thought it was a decent series. And, believe it or not, I think it was on ITV. I think it was.
We should really ask them for some money.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, really could do with some decent sponsorship on the website. Get some decent money coming in, and we can quit our jobs and do this for a living. Okay, so, all right, Equalizer, yeah, it could work.
What if I told you it's being played by Denzel Washington?
No, that's not going to work. That's going to be awful. Denzel Washington. I mean, I don't know, it could work, but obviously it's going to be an Americanized version.
Yeah.
Which, kind of, yeah, I don't know, that's just, well, that's shitting on our youth, that's what that is.
As always,
right, what else are they going to shit on? Go on, what was the next one?
Jumanji,
yeah, I saw that.
That's currently being redone again.
Well, there was another film similar to Jumanji, wasn't there?
There's a sort of pseudo sequel.
The Kaplunk.
Kaplunk, yes.
Hungry Hippos.
There was a pseudo sequel called Zathura.
Okay.
Which is kind of a board game concept again, but it's a space board game.
Alright.
And so rather than jungle-themed events, it was space-themed events. Mm. That's really good. I really like that one. That's directed by...
You liked it?
I liked Zathura, yeah.
This is funny how you do that. The way you describe it makes it sound awful, and then you tell me you liked it.
my descriptions are fucking awful.
Well, I don't know. It's all right. It works. It just leads me into a full sense of security. I think, I could slate this one. And you say you liked it. I never saw Jumanji. I was excited. There was a lot of hype about it when it first came out, and I wanted to see it. I think my sister wanted to see it as well, and we never did. Never saw it. I still have never seen it. So I don't know what Jumanji is about, really. It was it Robin Williams?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of CGI, wasn't there?
That's one of the big things about it back in the day was the fact they had a lot of CGI animals and how realistic they looked at the time.
Yeah, would probably look dated.
Watching it now,
I think so. Yeah, it would look a bit dated now.
The CGI monkeys look rather poor now. But then again, say it was 1995, so
blimey, yeah,
just one or 2 years ago.
Yeah. Oh well, I mean that could be all right. I don't know. I mean. Not so much shitting on my youth as a film that passed me by, I think. I wonder, I don't know. 95. What are we now? Well, that's a while ago, isn't it?
That's still quite a while ago, yeah.
I don't know. I can't work out how old I was. It's been a long day. But, okay, Jumanji. I don't know. That could be all right. Reserve judgment until we see the trailer.
Maybe. Oh, it's being written by a guy called Zach Helm. He wrote the script for Stranger Than Fiction. Don't know if you saw that one.
No.
That was Will Ferrell and Emma Thompson.
Right.
And as he lives his life, he hears, a voice in his head that's narrating what he's doing.
Oh, right, okay.
That's an okay film. Apparently, he also wrote and directed Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
I've never heard of that.
That's Dustin Hoffman and... Oh, I was going to say Padme. I can't remember her real name.
Oh, Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman, yeah. Padme. Something about Magical Shop. I've never watched it. He's used to sort of the wonderful element by the sound of it, so... Well, so unless until we see something, you can't really make any judgment, can you?
I suppose. I mean, my initial instinct when I heard that was, well, okay, I think they could probably do it quite well these days, CGI being what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it could probably work. I'll give it a fair chance. I'm being more positive, John. Normally,
yes.
I think pretty much every review so far from me or reaction so far has been that shit. That's shit. Why the fuck are they doing that? No, I'm positive about Jumanji. I think that'll be alright. That's my tip for whatever year it's coming out.
Oh, they could use you to put taglines on for the posters.
It'll be alright.
It'll be alright.
It's shit. I'd love to. Oh, that would be great. If we ever. God, imagine if the website ever got big enough that we were on fucking movie posters. That would be great, wouldn't it?
But then again, they take the quotes out of context sometimes, don't they?
Yeah.
They put like those three little full stops at the beginning of the quote and then have the words. You think, what are those three dots hiding?
Yeah. It's like you tell me about something that sounds awful and I go, oh my God. And it could just be, shit film. Oh my God. The unheard nerd. And it could mean anything, couldn't it?
Exactly.
Fuckers. Sneaky bastards. Well,
just ask Paul Ross. He'll fucking give away any quote you like for a bit of money.
Paul Ross, yeah. Brother of Jonathan.
That's right. Who we explained in, was that the first or second pod?
Oh, I think it was. I don't know. Can't remember. Go back and listen to him.
Yeah, go back and listen to it. Find out who it is. Then jump back to this point, and that's his little brother. Mm. He also reviews films, but tends to like lots of them. So he gets his quotes on the bottom of movie posters.
Yeah. Well, he's got to make a living, I suppose. He's not as famous as his brother, is he?
No, I don't even know what he does these days. Most of the time I see him popping up on daytime television.
Probably has a radio show somewhere. Probably still earns double what I do, bastard. good luck to him. All right, what have we got next, John?
A trailer I watched today, which was quite interesting. It's not for a film, but a documentary.
And all
it's
right.
Been, okay, it's directed by Alex Winter. Who's okay. Probably most famously known as
excellent.
Exactly, as which one is it?
He was Ted Theodore Logan.
I know it's Ted Theodore Logan. I couldn't remember if he was Ted or if he was Bill.
Is it Logan or Logan? I always thought it was Logan. Is it Logan? Logan. It must just be the way they said it, and the way I heard it. go on. Yeah, he was from Bill and Ted.
He's from Bill and Ted. He's become a director in his own right, and. He's put together a documentary chronicling the history of Napster.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that's interesting.
And obviously it starts off with archive footage of these guys saying they just wrote a program where they wanted to meet new people and share emotion by sharing music, obviously not realising how big it was going to become and the implications of what happened.
I'm a little bit sceptical about that little write-up there. I mean... they were very young. I mean, what was he, about 18, this kid?
Something like that, yeah. Very young.
Was he really trying to share emotion through music? Does it sound likely? Or was he just trying to get free music? I mean, I'm not sure.
Probably
I mean,
the latter.
I'm not casting any judgment. I'm just putting that out there. You know. But I know I admired that kid quite a lot. I mean, I thought he did amazingly well. I think he... earned an awful lot of money and lost an awful lot of money in a very short space of time. But I did find it funny once when I think he presented an award at the MTV Awards. And, you know, there was that big spat between and Napster and Metallica.
Yes.
Metallica were at the forefront of, you know, getting it shut down, really. And Metallica were in the front row, and he came out wearing a Metallica t-shirt. And he said, hey, do you like my t-shirt? It's not actually mine. I borrowed it from a friend. But if I like it, I'll buy my own. It was brilliant. Absolutely. Just the cameras just zoomed in on Lars Ulrich, and his face was like thunder. It was awesome. What a brilliant moment. I'd be interested to watch that. What's your review based on the trailer?
It looks very interesting. I want to see the whole thing. I want to see, you know, the story, you know, hear the facts, see what actually went on. I mean, the trailer sort of highlights the big point, which is basically they create an app for sharing music, but then eventually they had to go to court to fight the big record companies.
Yeah. And I mean, Napster's still going, but not at all what it was like when it was set up.
Some kind of iTunes-like service now, isn't it? You have to pay for music now.
I expect. I don't know. What an alien concept. I do buy music, but I don't buy music from signed artists at all anymore. I buy music from independent, you know, nerdy rappers, as is the basis of everything I write about, pretty much. Well, yeah, no, I am interested to watch that. I thought the Social Network was a very good film, interesting. I know that was sort of a more of a... not, it wasn't a documentary. It was... I'm trying to think of the word, but I can't for the life of me. It was a representation. It was...
Dramatisation
of what events that happened. But, I mean, Napster were mentioned in that as well. And then the guy, sort of an actor playing him, appears in that too. I think that would be fun. I don't mind the old documentary. What about you?
No, I'm all up for watching documentaries.
I mean, I think you can find some really good alternative lifestyle documentaries. One that springs to mind, I can't remember what it's called, but it was by or at least narrated and probably executive produced by Sean Penn, and it's about the skateboarding, early days of skateboarding, and I think it's called something like Dog Bones or Bones, I can't remember. Somebody will be screaming at this listening, knowing what it was called. I can't for the life remember. And if I look it up, my Wi-Fi will slow down and we won't hear anything. So I won't do that. But I like the odd documentary and things that deal with topics that I've been interested in, stuff that I'm interested in. So that sounds interesting. I'll check out the trailer for that. I'll look up that trailer. I look forward to that.
I mean, that documentary you sort of promote on the website, that indie game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I watched that a while back. That was brilliant.
I never got around to watching it. I wanted to go to the premiere. I was going to get tickets for the premiere, and something happened. I can't remember what it was. At home, I couldn't go, so I never made it there, and I never watched it. But I should look that up. IndieGameTheMovie.com, I think. People, check that out. This it got a lot of rave reviews, and it's won awards at film festivals around the world, I think.
Yeah, the story of all the little guys who write games at home and then try and get them published on the Xbox Live gaming service.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's not as easy as it sounds.
No.
Especially for that was one guy who's he's still not finished the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's been writing it for years, and there's a postscript to the end of the movie, and he's like, oh, he's still writing it, and he's hoping to release it next year. It's like, bloody hell.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, I mean, with regards to the movie, the music that I touched on, you know, Nerdcore Hip Hop, there are a couple of documentaries that you can get online, Nerdcore Rising, and I think it's Nerdcore for Life. They're equally interesting, different production values between the two. But yeah, they're interesting. So yeah, I like a documentary. Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, I'll look forward to watching that about Napster. Sounds interesting.
Okay, moving along, it looks like we're going to get a third Tron film.
Third one?
A third one. They've just announced the screenwriter, a guy called Jesse Wigeto, if that's his name. Well, it is his name. I don't know if you have it properly.
It's a representation of his name.
That's right. It's going to be written by Alan Smithy.
Okay, well,
Extra detail there. One of the worrying things is he wrote the script for Eragon. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
No, I haven't.
That's one of the worst fantasy movies going. It's awful.
Mm. I won't be watching that though.
No. apparently also wrote a thing called Peter and the Star Catchers, which is something that's yet to be released. And also apparently he's written a script for a remake of The Crow.
Oh really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Which kind of elevates the interest a bit. It's like, oh God, he wrote some shit. Oh, he wrote that. Oh. So
well, it might not be any good.
Well, the same director is back, Joseph Kosinski. He's back on board.
Well, I mean, how far wrong can you go with Tron? It's not exactly highbrow, is it? It's not artistic in much. It's visually very impressive, and that's
oh yeah.
I mean, there's not much storyline to it, really, is there? It's like you have a few minutes dialogue. You have a lot of fucking bikes, light cycles, and you know, frisbees, and there's, I don't know, it's very, the bits that are not action sequences are very slow paced. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think you can go very far wrong with it.
Perhaps they'll improve Jeff Bridges' wonky mouth this time for you.
Well, it wasn't wonky. It just it wasn't natural. It didn't move. it was similar to the Final Fantasy film, if you remember that.
Oh yeah, The Spirits Within.
Yeah, I never did understand that story at all, but the animation was very impressive. I should give that another watch. I think I've got that on DVD. Wow, I haven't thought about that film for years. but no, the CGI I thought was similar to that, and considering how many years ago that came out, then yeah, not that impressive. The mouth, anyway, not the rest of it. The rest of it's all right. It's just the mouth, which was terrible. So yeah, hopefully they'll work on that. CGI Jeff Bridges.
the studio, there's they got a bunch of people together to make that Final Fantasy movie, and they set up a whole new studio to do it. And then the movie bombed, and then they all got fired.
Well, yeah, it wasn't brilliant, was it? It was an interesting thing to look at, but the story...
Oh, visually, I thought it was really good. As you said, the story is just like, well, I only played one Final Fantasy game, and that's number 7, and I still don't know what the fuck is going on.
I mean, while we're on the subject of Final Fantasy, I did post this on the website, but there's... they're going to be that orchestral arrangement of the music from, I think it's 6, 7 and 10.
Oh, right, yes.
It's going to be at the Barbican in London. I think that's May next year. Uh-huh. Should be... it's the London Symphony Orchestra. This is all off the top of my head because I didn't look at the website while we're recording. but it's at the Barbican Centre in London. It's going to premiere in Germany, and then it's going to come over to London in the middle of May, I think, performed by the London Symphony Orchestra. But that'll be a one-off for fans of the game series. That'll be a one-off thing. It'll be worth checking out if you like the music from that. But if you need details, hit up the unheardnerd.com and check that out. Okay, Tron 3. I don't know. I quite enjoyed the second one. I actually went back and watched the first one again afterwards.
All right. It dates really badly.
Oh, it's really dated, but I enjoyed.
I love both films.
Yeah.
You watch the second and then the first, you go, oh, we've come a long way, haven't we?
We've come a long way in terms of visual, you know, technology. The CGI is much better, but the storyline's not particularly improved, I don't think. I thought they were all right. I quite enjoyed them. I did see it in 3D, the last one. And I found that actually taking my glasses, 3D glasses off, much of the film actually wasn't in 3D. Much of it was in 2D, and there was just a few, I can't remember how many minutes, but there's only, I don't know, it was about an hour and 45, 2 minutes, 2 hours long probably, and only about half an hour of it was actually in 3D.
Really?
I think. I mean, check that if you like. But it's certainly the whole film was not in 3D, which is a bit of a cheek. Because my fucking contact lens was slipping all over the place when I was trying to watch that. And yeah, I don't think the wife particularly rated it either.
I don't think the stylistic choice that movie really lends to 3D, because a lot of the stuff is neon outlines against a black background.
Yeah.
So there's not, a lot of the time, there's not a lot of stuff that can give depth just because of the style of the movie.
Yeah, I don't know. So when you're looking at the landscapes and the sort of the grid on the floor and the game, you know, when they're playing the game, so it worked all.
Yeah.
But No, you know my feelings. Everybody knows my feelings by now. 3D.
Download earlier podcasts to find out.
Yes, indeed. Go back, listen to them all. What's next?
They're going to do another season of that live-action Mortal Kombat Legacy series. In fact, it's already started filming in Los Angeles, apparently.
Oh, right. So that's like a web series.
Yeah, there's it Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Okay, so I wonder what that means for the film.
Pass.
I mean, that was supposed to be going into production. I can't remember what it was. 50 million budget, was it?
About 40, 50 million.
45
yeah.
million, something like that. And it was the same guy that was doing the series. He was heading that up.
But it was like, yeah, he's doing this first then. Maybe one will lead into the other. Although then you've got that dangerous thing of you can't make a film dedicated to the fans of the web series, because then you've got the rest of the audience going, what?
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Well, I didn't watch the first series, so I don't know what that's about. Okay. Maybe I should go back and watch that.
I watched most of them. They're not bad, actually. I remember the first one being actually really good, just because of the fact it's violent.
Right.
Sort of, you know, hard-edged.
Is that your definition of good? It's violent.
It's good. It's violent. There's blood.
It's on some kind of maniac.
It's not good unless it's violent.
That was quite scary. All right, well, keep an eye out for that, kids.
A little tidbit for the end, I suppose. Finally, Samuel Jackson has confirmed that Nick Fury isn't going to be in Iron Man 3 or even Thor: The Dark World. He said he'll next pop up in Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Captain America: A Winter Soldier. Okay, well, he deserves a break. He's been in quite a few of them, hasn't he?
He's almost well, like small parts.
Almost as bad as Stan Lee. Hi, I'm Stan Lee, and I invented Marvel. So I'm going to be in every film. Oh, hi, Stan. It's like a bad smell just hanging around set. Can I be in the film yet? Can I be in the film yet? Just get him in the film so he can fuck off back to his old people's home and piss himself and eat biscuits. I've got this odd dislike for Stan Lee. Not the comic work. I love his comic work. I love the fact that Marvel's doing really well. I love everything about Marvel. But the fact that Stan Lee is in every fucking film, even the bad ones, I don't know. Why shouldn't he? But, you know, I don't know. Just give it up, Stan. Just give it up. Poor old heart can't take it these days. Okay. So,
the opposite. We give a little cheer.
Of course you are. Of course you are. Why wouldn't you be? Okay. Well, I guess they don't need Nick Fury to be in them. He's already tapped up Iron Man, and he's already tapped up Thor for the Avengers. I don't know. He's already tapped up Captain America, but I suppose Captain America is far more intrinsic to the S.H.I.E.L.D. operation, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's kind of the team leader. I'm looking forward to all of those films. I don't think I like Iron Man as much as... Well, definitely as much as you do, because whatever I say, you're going to think the opposite. I don't think I like Iron Man as much as a lot of people do. I don't rate it as much as a lot of people do. Not to say I don't enjoy it and that I don't own both of them. I thought the second one was a bit poor. But I am interested to see how 3 turns out. It looks pretty kick-ass.
It does. Well, speaking of which, a Japanese trailer hit the net today as well.
Did it?
It has a few extra snippets of footage in there.
Okay. Why are the Japanese getting all these extended trailers?
I've no idea.
Fuck him. Why? Alright, so we're done for this week. I think that's the end of this week's The Unheard Nerd Movie Podcast. John, as always, it's a pleasure.
Oh, I love doing these. See you later.
See you later. Thank you for joining me. And stick around for another show next week. If you haven't done so, check out the previous shows. TheUnheardNerd.com, at TheUnheardNerd on Twitter, and at UKFilmNerd for John. Facebook.com/TheUnheardNerd. Google+, just search TheUnheardNerd. No one does. But okay, until next time, see you later. TheUnheardNerd.com. I'll fucking edit this now.